So I woke up this morning and the Lord gave me three different things. Tommy came in and said, what are we going to talk about? I offered him those three and he chose this one. So
it's my
fault. It's all Tommy's fault. I want to go back and touch on something that I think heavily impacts us. When Scripture talks about we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, this is one of the things I think that really has to be renewed. In Scripture, and in all of time, there has only ever been two priesthoods. There was the priesthood of Levi and the priesthood in the order of Melchizedek. And the original one was the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. Now, my understanding is that a priest or a priesthood is designated to administer a covenant between God and man. The first covenant God ever made with man was when, before the beginning of time, when he determined that man would be his heir. It's often what I refer to as part of the original intent of God. And I even believe the purpose of our life and the history of mankind is a process of getting back to the original intent of God. What was God thinking in the moment he thought, I think I'll make man my son and he'll be my heir? For what purpose was God creating mankind, and what was he thinking in that very moment? And we call that the original intent of God, and that's when I believe fullness will come to us once we fully understand that. In every covenant of God, there is always a priesthood appointed to administrate that covenant. So in the case of man being his son, God appointed the priest of Melchizedek to administer it. Now understand, if we look at the Old Testament, or look at especially at the beginning of Scripture, God depicts a father and son relationship in which God intended that he blew his image and likeness, or he created Adam in his image and likeness, because it was his thought that Adam, who was the first Melchizedek, would draw all of mankind to God. That his presentation of God would bring forth mankind into the presence of God and cause them to come into what we call salvation. In the order of Melchizedek, the oldest living son of God on the earth at the time carried the title of Melchizedek. So Adam was Melchizedek until he died. Then Shem was Melchizedek until he died. The way the lives worked out, Shem's son would have been a Melchizedek also. If you ever outlived the eldest one, it would jump a generation. But basically the oldest living son of God in each generation that came down from the line of Adam all the way down to Noah and on into Abraham would carry the title of Melchizedek. Now, to me, one of the chief characteristics of the priesthood of Melchizedek was that they would represent God to man. Melchizedek, when described in Scripture, is described as the King of Salem and a Prince of Peace. Salem being Shalom. Let me back up here a minute. Yeah. Salem being the word Shalom or peace. And if you remember, we said that the Hebrew word Shalom, when you laid out each of its letters, said that which destroys the authority that establishes chaos or disorder. So the order of Melchizedek came to destroy the work of the devil. The purpose of the order of Melchizedek in representing God to man was to destroy the works of the devil. This order of Melchizedek served mankind well until the nation of Israel went into captivity with the Egyptians. Up until that time, the Israelites had the opportunity for the culture of heaven, the culture of the order of Melchizedek, to be passed from generation to generation, from father to son. And so they were constantly teaching their offspring about the culture of heaven. When the nation of Israel went into captivity with Egypt, they went in as slaves, were virtually told everything to do, when to get up, when to go to bed, how much work to do, how many bricks to make with or without straw. You know, pretty tough life. So they lost the opportunity to teach this culture. When they came out of captivity, God called them up to Mount Sinai with the intent of putting His Spirit into all of them and leading them by His Spirit. And He was going to teach them the things that He had taught to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day when He walked with them all those times. He was going to teach those to all the Israelites. And if you remember, He said, now don't come up right now. In fact, don't even touch the mountain. But when you hear the ram's horn sound, I want you all to come up here. That was His intent, was to impart the culture of heaven to them. The Israelites said, oh, no, we don't want to do that. We know what you're going to do. You're going to get us up there and kill us. So anyway, they said, we're going to send Moses up there, and you tell him what you want us to know, and we'll do those things. Well, this presented somewhat of a difficulty for God, because He wanted to lead each man by His Spirit. So God came up with, I think it's about 711 laws, different articles of the law. And He called this Levitical law, and apportioned the tribe of Levi to be the priest over this new covenant. So we had the original covenant that man would be his son. Now we have the new covenant that is the law as we know it, and it will be the priesthood that will administrate it is the order of Levi. And they were well versed in the law. Now, to me, the primary characteristic of the order of Levi is that they represent man to God. Each year, man would bring his sacrifice to a Levitical priest. He would wash it, prepare it, sacrifice it, and cry out to God in hopes that He would have mercy on us for another year. So a big difference. Melchizedek represented God to man, but Levi represented man to God. So if we fast forward to the crucifixion of Christ, if you remember, when Christ was crucified, the veil was ripped and the Levitical priest was exposed, and it was actually done away with. And we say, in Hebrews it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. You remember part of the role of the chief priest of the Levitical tribe was that there were certain ones who could enter into the Holy of Holies. They'd tie a rope around his ankle so they could drag him out in case he died while he was in there. But he could enter into the Holy of Holies. But we have been given a new way to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And it goes on to say that it is declared to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And I would add to that He is the first among many. Where in the beginning of the Old Testament, there was one Melchizedek per generation. All of us, as sons of God, are priests of the order of Melchizedek. We're called here to represent God to mankind, and we are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. That's why it says, when Jesus says that He's the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, in the order of the kingdom of God, every inhabitant is both a king and a priest in the order of Melchizedek. to carry forth the representation of God to mankind. Our problem is, about 345 years after Christ's crucifixion, after this time that we're talking about when the Levitical priesthood was done away with, man set up the order of what we know today to be the Roman Catholic Church. And it's where the church and the government came together, and the believers were told that they could be the vicar of both God and King. Kind of a royal priesthood, if you would. It really a counterfeit that came into us. But since, and we reestablished an order of priests, beginning with the Pope and going on down, who much more reflect the order of Levi than it did the order of Melchizedek. And from that Catholic church has come what we call Protestants or the non-denominationals, but whatever, all of our denominations and non-denominations. But our order of government is very much more Levitical than it is Melchizedek. We all say that Jesus Christ was a priest in the order of Melchizedek, but we function in traditions that look much more Levitical. That's why we have the way we build our churches with a cross, a baptism, a communion table, and then the pulpit. You know why the pulpit's in front of the communion table? And then if you go over to some of the state churches in Europe, between that communion table and the pulpit, you'll have a choir along, sitting on each side. And that's to keep the presence of God away from the people, to protect the people from the presence of the living God, just like we did with the tabernacle and just like we did with the temple when we had the Holy of Holies. It's assumed man is not fit to touch that table, and that if they did, he would die, so you separate it and you put this priest or preacher or whatever we want to call it, we put it between man and God for man's protection, just like they did with the Levitical priest. When in fact, God's intent, part of his original intent, is that we should be the living evidence of the living God himself in our sphere. We should be putting him on display, and God will live among them. In preparation of the new heaven and new earth, where God's presence will be with us and he'll be the light, we're practicing here by you and I carrying the presence of God into the presence of man, so that people can grow accustomed to living in the presence of God, is what we should be doing. But we routinely revert back to the Levitical order. Somebody gets sick, first thing we do is say, somebody call the preacher, perhaps he'll cry out to God on our behalf. Somebody dies, same thing. When you yourself are a priest and a king in the order of Melchizedek, purposed to represent the living God to those around you. It's a constant theme. God always intended, when he said, I want man to be my son. What is a son? It is our progenitor. As the progenitor, our son is what comes out of us that represents us. And that's what God was saying. That's why he deposits a piece of himself in every one of us. He always intended for his likeness, his image, to be carried in a man. Man being neither male nor female, but in mankind, that we would always carry his image. And that's how he would relate. And that mankind would always be drawn to the Father by a son. We say nobody comes to the Father except by the Son, but nobody comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. When we first said that, we were talking about the Son, Jesus Christ. But now that Jesus has taken his seat in the throne, who is the Son that we're talking about? If God decides to draw somebody to the Son today, who does he turn their eyes to? All of you. to the Son of God that is being displayed in you, God will draw them to you and in turn be drawn to Him. That is our purpose. So my thoughts are that as we are trained and equipped as priests, that we remember the order in which we came, that we're coming in the order of Melchizedek, and that we are sent here by God Himself. That's what the whole thing of the ambassadorial representation and the delegation of authority that comes from God is all about, is us representing God to those around us. And we have to guard ourselves from falling back into that Levitical order. Oh, I can't do that. That needs to be a preacher. I can't do that. I can't represent God that way. I can't meet this need in this family. We need to get the preacher there. That's not true. There's not two classes of saints. There's not the clergy and the laity. That's all false. There's one. No one, excuse me, no one was ever redeemed by God for any purpose less than full-time ministry. Our problem is we think of full-time ministry in a Levitical process. We put it back into the professional guy who stays inside the temple. Our ministry is out in the streets. You know, as I send you, go as I send you. Yeah, this is what Jesus said to them as he sent them out to do what they did. We, as modern day believers, must remember this and reject the idea of that Levitical priesthood. Now, while it had its plans and purpose and was ordained by God, its time ended at the cross. The Levitical priesthood was ordained by God to serve mankind from Mount Sinai to the cross. But since the cross, any representation of that Levitical priesthood is against the will of God. His will is that the order of Melchizedek will be seen in the earth today. That we as the children of God will carry the presence of God as priests forever in the order of Melchizedek. But my point to you is this. Because of our religious backgrounds, because of our church history, we tend to default to the Levitical mentality of life. And while the Levitical order was of great value to the Israelites in that time from Mount Sinai to the cross, post-cross, the Levitical priest had no value. The Levitical priest's primary characteristic of representing man to God was through sacrifices. There are not going to be any more sacrifices, so there's no purpose. If you remember, their job was to identify the lamb that was without spot or blemish, wash it, and prepare it for slaughter. John the Baptist, who was a Levitical priest by due rights, did the final one. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he brought him down and he baptized him. He washed him. He prepared him for sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice. He was the atonement for our sins. And so there'll be no more after that. So there is no value in having a Levitical priest if you no longer have sacrifices. Thus, that's why Christ came in the order of Melchizedek. He reestablished that order of priest, and that's the order in which you walk today. You as the representatives, the sons of God, who have been given full delegated authority to be the ambassadorial representation of the living God as Christ Jesus did. Okay? Questions? Everybody got it? You'll never think of yourself as the order of Levi again.
I got a question.
Imagine that, Randy.
I was looking back on the Exodus 19, when talking about when they go up to Mount Sinai, and I see what... I'm confused on how that all went down.
Okay.
Because the Israelites got out of Egypt, Moses took them to Mount Sinai, and they got... They were chicken. They were afraid. So, originally God said that this was going to be how it was going to work. There was going to be no more offerings, and basically the order of Melchizedek rather than the order of Levi. But then did God get irritated because of their fear and say, well, never mind, we'll just go back to the Levitical law since that seems to make you guys more comfortable? Is that how it went down?
No. The order of Melchizedek existed prior to that. The Levitical order came into existence at that moment.
Because of their fear and resistance to obey?
Yes.
I can't find where he's... I don't know. Because once you get through chapter 20, it goes on to talking about, like, the law.
Right.
Servants, personal injuries, property, and all that.
Yeah. Chapter 19 is where he called them up, and they did not come. Chapter 20 is where you start seeing the law being revealed.
The Ten Commandments. Yeah.
But yeah, that all came into existence because of their fear and their doubt and unbelief.
Okay.
But yeah, there was no Levitical priest prior to Mount Sinai.
It was of Melchizedek, and then it switched
to Levi.
To the Levitical priest.
Right, and carried on until the cross, and then it was reestablished in the original intent of God into the order of Melchizedek.
And it really wasn't something that God came up with either, because it's exactly what the Israelites asked for. They asked for Moses to be a representative for them.
Yeah.
So all he did is say, okay, we can do that, but we're going to have to extend that out and say, what does that mean? That he was always going to be representative for you.
Did you hear that, Randy?
Tommy just said that basically the Lord just gave them what they asked for when they said, no, we don't want to. How about let Moses handle it for us? And he said, okay. And then is that what he said?
Yeah. And give us a man to go between us and you. Mm-hmm. That's what they asked for.
I see.
Ironically, we later on in Scripture referred to the law as being for the lawless. The law was given for the purpose of the lawless, those who did not want to be led by their father's spirit. Okay?
I see. Thank you.
You bet. Okay. Y'all have a good week.